Of life in Juarez, Mexico, which many regarded as hopeless, Robert Andrew Powell writes, "Hope is all the Juarenses have. They overflow with hope. Hope is the ultimate coping mechanism." He's referring to both the city of Juarez itself and the soccer team that plays there, Los Indios. His book is This Love is Not for Cowards, Salvation and Soccer in Ciudad Juarez, and the author joins me from WLRN in Miami. Robert, welcome back to Only a Game.
It's good to be here, Bill.
You thought you knew what you were getting into before you moved to Juarez in 2009. Were you surprised by the level of violence when you actually arrived?
I was surprised. I guess I wasn't surprised in theory. I knew it was a very violent city, obviously. That's all I'd read about. I went to the city in part because I had a soccer team. And to me, having a soccer team was such a normal activity, which made me think that there was more to the city than just murder. And yet, to answer your question, there was a lot of murder. It was overwhelming.
Los Indios, the team which you write about in This Love Is Not for Cowards, had climbed up into the first division, the top level of pro soccer in Mexico. What impact did that success have on the city?
It can't be overstated. What a great thing it was for the city. As the owner of the team told me, it was the first time, it's the only time in modern Juarez where you would hear the name Juarez on the news without the antecedent, you know, bloody or murderous. It was soccer. It was something normal, and it was something that the people of Juarez took tremendous pride in.
How hard was it for those running the team, Los Indios, to convince promising players that they should relocate to Juarez?
It was all but impossible. They had to get the most desperate players in that. The general manager I got to know very well, and he would tell me he would sign a player from a team in Guadalajara and say, "Look, you have a chance to be a starter here in the first division. You know, this is the professional opportunity of your lifetime." And the player would be like, "All right, great, I'm in." And then a day later, the player would call the general manager and like, "Look, I spoke to my wife and we're not coming." The wife makes a good point, and this happened over and over again. And the general manager ended up like scouting China and Spain and anywhere he could find where people hadn't heard really about Juarez.
Francisco Ibarra, the owner of Los Indios, appears to regard running the team almost as a public service or a social project. But then there are suspicions raised that the team was tied to La Línea, one of the major drug cartels, for which Ibarra may have been laundering money. Was that happening?
I end up concluding that he wasn't. But I can't rule out the construction company that his family owns. The DEA is accused the Indios of laundering drug money. One of the best arguments that the team itself, specifically the team, was not laundering drug money is that they were horrible. Like if they were,
it would have been better,
better
if they had the money
right.
Coming in.
The team lost the entire time I was there. They ended up setting a Mexican record for longest winless streak in the major league. This was a bare-bones skeletal crew, and they couldn't pay their players, and they had the worst players in the league. And so it was hard to argue that the money was flowing into Los Indios.
There's an especially painful and powerful point in the book where you write about watching a game when a bomb goes off close by, and you write about the delayed impact of that event. Tell us a little about that incident and what it taught you about Juarez and about yourself.
The team had already been relegated to the minors, and sort of the main player that I cover in the team, an American named Marco Vidal, had been traded to a team called Pachuca. And I was watching the first Pachuca game of the season at a sports bar, and in the middle of the game, this car bomb goes off that kills four first responders. What amazed me is, because I'd been there almost 9 months by that point, is how I didn't respond. Like, I watched the rest of the game at the sports bar. I drank beer and I ate chicken wings. A week earlier, there'd been a man killed on my street. And the only thing that mattered to me is that all the police trucks were blocking me in and I couldn't get to the laundromat. Like, I just got numb. A good friend of mine in Juarez, he strongly encouraged me to leave, and he was convincing. And I left.
Have you followed the fortunes of Los Indios since you left Juarez and returned to the U.S.?
Last time I went to a game was in October of 2011, and they were in the minors, and they were doing horrible, and it was just obvious that this team was dying. like, it was sad. It was sad to go to the stadium where there were only a couple hundred people, where it used to be packed with 35,000. Within the last 6 months, they folded all together. I don't know what to glom onto in Juarez that can give the sense of hope that the Indios did.
Well, finally, I want to focus on a conclusion you took away from your experience. You wrote, La Gente, the people, proved to be bigger than the cartels. What part did the soccer team, play in your reaching that conclusion?
That statement I make there ties into a specific incident in that on the day the Indios qualified for the Primera, the Major League, was a day when the cartels had warned, don't go out, it's going to be the bloodiest weekend in the history of Juarez. Don't go to bars, don't go on Main Street, stay indoors. And when the Indios won, everyone spilled into the streets and had an all-night party. It was a beautiful moment. And I get cynical about sports sometimes, about the value that they can bring to a city. And it was inarguable in Juarez that this team was a beautiful thing in a city that doesn't have a lot of beauty.
Robert Andrew Powell is the author of This Love is Not for Cowards, Salvation and Soccer in Ciudad Juarez. The book is published by Bloomsbury, and the author joined me from WLRN in Miami. Robert, thank you very much for speaking with me.
Thank you, Bill.
It's 22 and a half minutes before the hour.
Support for Only a Game comes from the listeners of WBUR Boston, where the program is produced. Oliver Wyman, a global management consulting firm with 3,000 professionals serving global 1,000 companies. OliverWyman.com. And Trader Joe's, traveling the world to source a variety of foods and beverages like pizza from Italy and cheddar from Australia. Locations at TraderJoe's.com. This is NPR.